Welcome back to the Business Forum Show. I'm Kevin Hunter. In studio with me today is my business expert, David Ford. And today we have the Lohman Abdo firm. And representing Lohman Abdo is Robert Abdo, Jeffrey O'Brien, and Gregory Perlberg. Did I say that correctly?
You did. And Greg is fine.
All right, Greg. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks, Kevin.
Get us started, Bob, by explaining a little bit of the history behind your law firm.
Well, our law firm consists of about 40 lawyers. Mm-hmm. We're in three states. We're in New York, Hudson, Wisconsin, and the main office is in the IDS Center in Minneapolis. We have a general practice. About half of the lawyers are business lawyers and half are litigators. Our litigation is both plaintiff and defense work in the commercial and personal injury area. And the business covers the span of all business aspects, real estate, contracts, employment. We do pension profit sharing work as well as corporations, the formation of different entities, and we do securities work. You name it, we do it probably in the business end.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to throw out there for you guys, and one of you can pick up this question, but we're really addressing the business audience out there, and all too often, business owners attempt to represent themselves or act on their own behalf as an attorney, and they're not a lawyer. So what advice do you have to these business owners that are facing some sort of legal issue, perhaps in their business, or just needing to address things from a legal standpoint within the firm, and thinking that they can handle this on their own?
I work with a lot of newer businesses and those folks that are making that decision as to what they need to do to start up and whether or not they're going to use an attorney or whether they're going to do it DIY. And, you know, we have the DIY network on TV for home improvement stuff, but when it comes to legal issues, I always say that DIY usually equals SOL. it's not a smart idea to try to be your own attorney as a business owner. You know what you do best as a business, whether it be an auto body shop or a business consultant or some other, a restaurant owner, bar owner, brewery owner, whatever you do, that's what you know how to do. We know how to set up businesses. We know how to handle the legal issues involved with businesses. So I always tell people, do what you do best and farm out the rest, in particular the legal stuff, to hand it over to lawyers. You know, we talk about, you know, forming a business, and a lot of people shortcut the process and they will go on to the Minnesota Secretary of State website and they will download, and there is a form, one page form you can download called, if it's a corporation, Articles of Incorporation.
Sure.
Or if it's a limited liability company, also known as LLC, Articles of Organization. And there's a one page form you can download and you fill it out. And I think it's all they have is what your registered office is, who the registered agent is, what the name of it is, who's the contact person, what's their phone number. And you can file this. And it's, you know, it's a relatively small fee to file it. And that does give you, legally an entity. The problem is that that's not the end of the day. There's a number of default provisions in the corporate and LLC statutes that little one-page form doesn't address. There's things called preemptive rights, cumulative voting, dissenters' rights. All those things, I'm not going to get into detail what those all mean, but suffice it to say, you want to say something about them in your articles, and the Secretary of State form is silent on those issues.
And this is Greg Perlberg. What Jeff has done for a lot of my clients is he's formed these companies in a way that they provide a roadmap or a blueprint to avoid disaster, whether it's disputes amongst the owners or, you know, heading off, you know, big, big dispute issues way down the future. By taking these steps on the front end, you avoid extremely costly litigation down the road.
Yeah, that's right. The form of articles of organization or incorporation and a tax ID number from the IRS, that's not enough in terms of paper behind your business, in terms of legal documents to demonstrate that you have this entity that's separate from you and, you know, up and running entity. And you want to have bylaws or an operating agreement. You want to have a member control agreement or a shareholder control agreement. It talks about buy-sell provisions. That's if you have multiple owners, you want to have those kinds of things. You want to show a paper trail as to who's contributing what and what percentage or what number of shares they're getting. All these things head off issues, like Greg mentioned, down the road of when they want to go into business, particularly if they go into business with somebody, they're always, you know, they're going to be best friends or family members or in-laws or whatever, and they're all on the same page on day one.
Sure.
And that's the time to get all the structure put in place, all the paperwork put in place, so that, you know, a year or two down the road, or even less than that, we've seen in some cases, when they're not on the same page, there's a mechanism, clear understanding as to who owns what, who's responsible for what, and what happens if things break apart. And you spend a little bit up front to avoid a significantly more expensive issue down the road if you don't have that structure in place.
That's really interesting that you say that, Jeff, because one of the conversations that Dave and I have had several times and with various guests, a lot of times when you're running into a partnership of any form, that's one of the first questions we ask them is, do you have an exit strategy? Because as you just said, the best day of the partnership or the best day of the arrangement really is the first day. And I think, Dave, you'd concur with this. And those relationships tend to go south.
Absolutely, Kevin. I mean, most business owners, the reason that they don't go have a lawyer look at those agreements and set up those agreements to begin with is one of two primary reasons. One, they're trying to save money up front when they're starting out the business because they didn't plan properly and have enough money to begin with. That's usually the first issue. The second issue is fear. They don't want to look stupid. They don't know what they don't know. So they're afraid they're going to go in and talk to the lawyer and the lawyer's going to see that they don't have any idea what they're talking about and you shouldn't open this business and what are you doing? When that's not going to happen, they're going to try to provide the information that they need, but the business owner is too afraid to get out of their own way. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it set up properly, huge issues. I know of myself, first business I ever opened 7 years ago with my wife, we had a partnership issue. And if we had not had a lawyer and a good lawyer set it up to begin with, we'd have had major issues when it came time to separate that. As it was, spending, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 up front to have the partnership agreement done properly saved me tens of thousands of dollars on the back end of separating the partnership. And the biggest issue that I see in business owners when there's partnerships involved, rarely is it a smooth sale and rarely do they get through. There's no such thing as a 50-50 partnership. Mm-hmm. Somebody's always doing more work.
And that's a good point, Dave. You know, one of the things we like to talk about when we meet with our clients when they first set up a business is the philosophy of getting along. And mm-hmm. the fact that you have to think long term, you can't think short term. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there are some days one guy or one person that's in the firm is going to do the heavy lifting and down the line somebody else is going to do it. And everybody thinks they're the most important cog in the machine, but it isn't, usually isn't the case. Usually, you have to dance with each other as you go down the road to make it successful. And there's nothing that you can do that's going to end up dealing with a dynamic situation because there are going to be a lot of things you're not going to be able to anticipate up front in the business mm-hmm. and how people work with each other and how your banking and your customers and your product and everything else in connection with the business will ultimately evolve. And so you have to have a philosophical approach because once you agree on philosophy, you can fill in the detail as you go forward. Mm-hmm. One other thing that we are concerned about is that if you don't keep the formalities of the business together, you're going to find yourself personally liable and not get the corporate protection from liability either as an LLC or as a corporation, or even in some cases as a partnership. There's limited partnerships and there's an ability to take and make a general partner's liability limited as well.
Sure.
And you're not going to do that if you don't keep the formalities of the corporation that are there.
Now, Bob, you alluded to a number of the documentation that business really should have in place at the beginning of a business arrangement or business agreement. And Jeff, you and I have had a lot of conversation about some of the basic documentation that businesses should have in place. Could you elaborate on that for our listening audience?
Sure. Well, the one thing you have to have, we talked about it already, you need to have articles of organization, articles of incorporation, depending on which type of entity, whether it be an LLC or a corporation. Mm-hmm. We refer to it as kind of the charter document. It's a public document. It's filed with the Minnesota Secretary of State. Once it's filed, you have a legal entity. You have to have those articles filed before you go around signing contracts in the name of the entity, before you go deeding property to the entity, things like that. You have to have that. You have to have it in legal existence, and the articles do that. The next document is more of an internal document, no less important. Sometimes called bylaws, sometimes called an operating agreement. Mm-hmm. It's the internal workings of the entity. So you're going to talk about ownership rights and meetings, and special meetings, and annual meetings, and notices, and meetings written actions without meetings. All these different things. You're going to talk about a board and what mm-hmm. their responsibilities are, not only to the to the other owners, as well as just their day-to-day functions. And then managers and officers. LLC we call managers, corporations call them officers. And you're going to have specified duties within that document as to what they can do. And you're going to have policies, you're going to, in terms of and procedures for removing for a governor or a member of the board of directors or an officer. All those different things are going to be contained within the bylaws. Emergency provisions for what happens if, you know, there was a terrorist attack, and how could the organization, you know, conduct a meeting, you know, all those kinds of things. There's some, all that kind of stuff. How does the entity dissolve if they decide they're going to decide to dissolve at some point and go out of business? All those things are in the bylaws or operating agreement.
We've got a short break coming up here on the Business Forum show. I want to remind our listeners you're listening to attorneys from Lohman Abdo, including Bob Abdo, Jeff O'Brien, and Greg Perlberg. I'm Kevin Hunter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.